Good afternoon, guys. Before we start, let's stand up. And we don't often do this because we come in and we sit down and we plan ourselves and we eat. Why don't you go to the table surrounding you and greet at least 2 to 3 other guys? Good afternoon, men. We are continuing in our series, A Man After God's Own Heart by Jim George. Tim mentioned that there are some books available, but not right this moment. But it is a great book. You may want to get it to read along with the speakers as we share throughout the semester. And we piggyback on the life of David and talk about King David. Great, great book. Today, my responsibility under God is to speak about spiritual growth. While we were home at Christmas, I had the privilege of participating in my brand new baby niece's baby dedication. My wife's youngest sister, Patty, and her husband, Ed, just had a little baby back in August, and I had the opportunity to minister to their family and the church they attend, and it was a real joy. How many of you love babies? See, everybody loves babies, don't we? Babies have a certain magnetism about them, don't they? I mean, even ugly babies have a magnetism. I mean, really. You would never walk up to somebody and say, man, that's the ugliest baby I've ever seen. Would you? Oh, you might get shot. A lady there during the dedication service came up to me afterward and said, wow, you have really grown and matured in your faith. I had not seen this lady for 35 years. And I didn't know whether to take that as a compliment or whether that was a challenge. But I took it as a compliment. I love babies, and I think we all love babies. I came across this concerning spiritual growth by someone that wrote this from their heart, and I wish I had written it because it's so profound. Yet so simple. The writer says, I love babies. I think others ought to have as many as they wish. I think it's a delightful, enjoyable experience to watch babies grow up and to become little people, little men and women, adolescents and functioning persons. But you and I know that there are some things about little babies that are not very attractive. We humor them because they're babies. Here's a list of things. They are dependent and demanding. They are unable to feed themselves. They are unable to stay out of messes. They love to be the center of attention. They are driven by impulses such as hunger, pain, and sleep. They are irritated when they're dirty, even though they made the mess themselves. And you've got to clean it up. They have no manners, no control. They have little attention span. No concern for others, no abilities or skills. Now, these are natural things that are part of babyhood. But when you see adults with these characteristics, something tragic has happened. Something terribly unfunny has happened. The Christian who is not interested in growing wants to be entertained. Listen to me, guys, this is truth. He wants a diet of milk when he cries for it. He wants his way, and he's going to get it no matter how many he will have to disrupt to get it. You see, in order for a Christian to handle solid food, he has to have a growing, mature digestive system. He needs teeth. He needs to have an appetite that is cultivated over a period of time for deep things, for the solid things of God. Spiritual babies must grow up. Some of the most difficult people to live with in the Church of Jesus Christ are those who have grown old in the Lord, but have never grown up in Him. And let me tell you, anybody who's a pastor here can probably say amen to that. Because we see it all the time where people are stunted in their spiritual growth. What is your passion? What is the one thing that you enjoy doing the most that doesn't take a lot of arm twisting? How many of you guys like golfing? Does it take arm twisting to get you guys to go golfing? Not a whole lot of motivation, does it? How many of you like to hunt or fish? You got a lot of hunter, fishermen. Good. Reading books, exercising. I mean, there's a lot of different things that we have a passion about. How about growing spiritually in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord? Do you have a passion for that, guys? Because I think God's Word challenges us to grow up into Him who is the head, even Jesus Christ. The Lord challenges us to grow. What is spiritual growth? Let me make a rough attempt at trying to define and get a handle on something that's like Jell-O. It's really hard to pinpoint and define this specifically. Spiritual growth for me is daily being conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. For me, it means it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave Himself for me. It's being crucified to self. It's dying to self daily. It's knowing Him and the power of His resurrection in my life. I want to know more and more and more and more about Him. When we are maturing, we are not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We're not blown away by the strangest philosophies of our day and time. We have a desire for spiritual meat, not pablum. And it's a lifelong pursuit and doesn't happen quickly, nor can we piggyback on the lives of other people that we would like to. For me, guys, I don't know about you, spiritual growth is essential, not optional. It's something that the Lord challenges us to do as believers. But too many, I see today, have embraced the Peter Pan syndrome where they are in Never Never Land and don't want to grow up, spiritually speaking. What are some steps to spiritual growth? Let me pop through these real quickly. There are 6 steps to spiritual growth. The first is devote your life to Jesus Christ. Devote your life to Jesus Christ. Now, in a room full of guys like this, 140, 50, 60 guys, I don't know what we have here today. I don't know who is and who is not a believer. I have no idea. Jeremiah 17, 9, 10 says, "The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful. No man understands it, only God does." I don't know the human heart. But let me tell you, guys, if there's one person that knows you, it's God. Because He looks not on the outward appearance, He looks on your heart. And He knows where you stand spiritually. Yesterday at our church, I buried a 38-year-old guy who went in for heart surgery and a valve replacement 2 weeks ago, and due to complications, unfortunately, he passed away. I'm so thankful that I had discussion with him before he went into surgery to know for sure that he had Jesus Christ in his life. Because I'm telling you, what you do with Jesus determines where you spend eternity. And that's not with me, that's what God's Word says. Because there's a subtle philosophy pervading our society today that says, if you're a good person, you live a good life, you die, you're automatically going to go to heaven. The person with the most toys wins. Sorry, guys, that's the wrong philosophy. Don't buy into that. If you have not devoted your life to Jesus Christ, I'm going to challenge the table leaders today to talk to you guys. If you have not committed your life to Christ, that's where you begin. That's a beginning point. That's a starting point. And when we accept Jesus into our life as Lord and Savior, we come into God's family as what? A spiritual infant. A baby Christian. And just like we grow through physical stages of development, we grow spiritually through the same stages. Where we become a baby Christian, we become childlike in our faith, we start stretching, we start crawling and learning how to walk, the walk of faith, we become teenagers and adolescents, and hopefully keep growing on to maturity in faith in Jesus Christ. Let me read you what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 2, beginning in verse 9. Because I think this explains this very clearly. Paul says, "That is what the Scriptures mean when they say, no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, and no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. But we know these things because God has revealed them to us by His Spirit, and His Spirit searches out everything and shows us even God's deep secrets. No one can know what anyone else is really thinking except that person alone, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own Spirit. And God has actually given us His Spirit, not the world's Spirit, so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. When we tell you this, we do not use words of human wisdom. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truth. Here's the key. But people who aren't Christians, who have never accepted Jesus Christ in their heart as Lord and Savior, and confessed their sin and repented of their sin, can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. Make sense? How can somebody who's not a believer understand spiritual things and grow spiritually? It doesn't work that way. It all sounds foolish to them because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. We who have the Spirit understand these things, but others can't understand us at all. How could they? For who can know what the Lord is thinking? Who can give Him counsel? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. In other words, Paul's saying it begins with our relationship with Jesus Christ, and you can't expect somebody who has never accepted Jesus Christ into their life to understand and comprehend spiritual things, because that's the basis of how we grow, is the Word of God and our relationship with Christ. That's the beginning point. Devote your life to Jesus Christ. Secondly, deal with sin. Now let's face it, sin always looks attractive and tempting and alluring. And has anyone ever seen sin look bad? I had a man in a church that I pastored. His name was Steve. There's nobody here. Another community, another day, another time. He worked for Armstrong World Industries. He was an upwardly mobile, professional young guy. He was into the six-figure bracket. He was moving up toward $1 million income a year. He was a sales rep for Armstrong and sold flooring and tile and ceiling and all this stuff, and he traveled the whole East Coast. He lived in a $500,000 house in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Had two kids, had a wife. Outwardly, it seemed like Steve had his whole act together. Over the course of several years, he cultivated a relationship with a little Chiquita banana down in Georgia. A little Georgia peach, I used to call her. And Steve didn't think that his kids and wife knew anything about it, but his wife knew, and she found out about the relationship. Steve was on a business trip, and one day, his two children that were 9 and 11 came home from school one afternoon and found their mother hanging in their walk-in closet in their bedroom. She had committed suicide. Steve was summoned to come back into town, and he called me, and I never saw such a broken man in my whole life. Be sure sin will find you out. David, and we've been focusing on the life of David. When David sinned with Bathsheba, he hid that sin for a whole year. He tried to conceal it, cover it over. He didn't want anyone to know what he had done. Psalm 32 is David's cry to the Lord. Psalm 32, 3 to 5 says, "When I refused to confess my sin, I was weak and miserable, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sin to you and stopped trying to hide them. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord, and you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus." When we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us of some of our sin. See, you know 1 John 1:9, don't you? But see, the point is, do you believe it? Because I know there's a lot of men in this room who have struggled in this area, and they've had hurdles in their life, and they haven't forgiven themselves. Have you guys? If God does, isn't He a greater authority? And He promises to remove our sin as far as east is from the west and remember our sin no more. The psalmist David declared in Psalm 32:1, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered." Thirdly, discard spiritual laziness. The legendary coach, Bud Wilkinson, was traveling, legendary coach of Oklahoma Sooners. He was traveling, and he was on the President's Council of Physical Fitness. He was down in Dallas, Texas, and a reporter asked him one time, "What does college football have to do with physical fitness today in our society?" You know what Bud Wilkinson said at that day and time? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And the reporter was astounded and said, "Well, what do you mean by that?" He said, "There's 22 guys on the field pummeling and beating themselves up, and there's 80,000 people in the grandstand feeding their face doing absolutely nothing." Let me transfer that. That's a picture of the church today. The Pareto principle is 20% of the people of a church do 100% of the work, and the other 80% let them do it. Spiritual laziness. Paul said, if you don't work, you don't... We need to discard that, guys. We need to really roll up our sleeves and learn how to become active in the Lord's work. Fourth, decide the method of growth. You know, we are so blessed today, guys. We have so many wonderful tools available to us, don't we? Through the internet and through all kinds of technical advantages we have. Bible studies with other men. Connect in a Bible study group with other guys. Listen to the Bible on CD in your car. DVDs, websites. You can listen to sermons. Plug in. I get a devotional every day from David Jeremiah. Great, just food for my soul, my spirit. There are so many great tools, aids, assists, helps for us today. We don't have any excuse why we can't grow unless you have decided you don't want to grow, because it's a heart issue. It comes down to a heart issue. Really. How about start memorizing Scripture? What if you were a POW in a concentration camp? How much Scripture could you recall that you put to memory? And you say, I know some of you guys are saying, well, you don't know. I can't remember what I ate for breakfast. My wife tells me, did you remember that? And I say, oh, forgot it. And I know some of you older fellows are saying, man, it gets harder as you get older. You write stuff down and then you put it somewhere and you can't forget where you put it. I know. But one of the things I did fresh out of seminary back in the 70s was I was involved in Campus Crusade for Christ, and I went to meetings in Philadelphia every week for 3.5, almost 4 years, and I learned Scripture memory and how important Scripture memory is to our spiritual growth and helping us develop as believers. And to this day, I just count that a privilege to be able to hide God's Word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. Be realistic in your growth. Start out realistically. My secretary said to me the other day, she said, what can I do to start growing? Should I read through the whole Bible in a year? And I said, be realistic. Start with little bite-sized pieces and stick to it. See, that's the problem. Discipline. Consistency. Over the long haul. We start out great. We have all these New Year resolutions, don't we? But then by the end of January, we're saying, what happened to the resolutions we made? Decide the method of growth. Five, determine to be discipled. In order for us to learn, we must learn first to be a good follower. What did Jesus say to the disciples? Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Who are you connecting yourself to? I want to surround myself with all kinds of different guys wherever they are spiritually, but I want to latch on to people that I can learn from, grow from, that I believe are more mature than I am. When I first came to this church 22 years ago in this town, I latched on to a man by the name of Roy Fife. He was a godly man. And when Roy prayed, you felt like you were right in the throne room of God. Oh, dear Jesus. And when he prayed, you could tell he had an intimate relationship with God. I latched on to this man and he mentored me and loved me and he helped me grow as a person and as a pastor, and he just loved me despite me. And I'll ever be eternally grateful to God for Roy Fife and thank him one day when I see him in glory for what influence he had in my life. Determined to be discipled. Paul put it to Timothy this way: the things you've heard from me, say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. 2 Timothy 2:2. And finally, dedicate your life to ongoing spiritual growth. The verse, the key verse of this chapter is 2 Peter 3:18. Grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It should really read this way if you look at it in the Greek. Continually seek after, continually be growing in the grace and knowledge of our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. It's an active, continual kind of mindset. It's not a once and done deal that I stop growing or I become stagnant or I've learned all that I need to learn. How many of you know all there is to know about Jesus Christ? See, when you get to that point where you think you know more than Him, you're in deep trouble. Deep trouble. Growth is something we should challenge ourselves to do every day, committedly. Like you get up and you eat and you go to the bathroom and you shave or whatever your routine is, you should be committed on a daily basis to want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. The side benefits of spiritual growth are simply this. You'll enjoy greater intimacy with God. You'll manifest Christ-like behavior to a watching world. And let me tell you guys, the world's watching us and they're putting us under a microscope. You will be able to give your family the spiritual leadership that they desperately need today. And let me tell you, in this community, that is a desperate need. We need godly men to rise up and stand up and be spiritual leaders. You'll possess the spiritual strength needed to defend against temptation. You'll provide a model of spiritual strength and maturity for other men, and you'll have the spiritual resources to disciple others. Let me leave you with a final question. How many of you eat physical food every day? How many of you would like to go for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks on what you did the previous week or two physically in eating? But honestly, guys, there's some men in this room that are not growing. You're not maturing. You've made a decision. And maybe it's simply because you don't know how to grow. You don't know where to start. And it's okay to admit and acknowledge that you need to start somewhere. Can I challenge you? I don't know about you, but I want to grow. I want to continue in my life to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. What God needs today are fat Christians, faithful, available, and teachable. I pray that you have a teachable spirit. Father, I pray. I pray for these men. I pray for my brothers in Christ, that you'll encourage them, that you'll strengthen them, that the table discussion will be God-honoring to you. Lord, would you challenge us? Would you encourage us to really want to delve into your word, to put our miner's caps on and really delve and dig into the wisdom that's contained therein and to apply the word of God to our lives? I pray for that man maybe here today who has never dedicated his life to Jesus Christ, that today can be the day of salvation. Would you minister to the table leaders as they minister to these men now? Bless them. Encourage them, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.